God so loved the world. The world, what does that mean? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio, and thank you for joining us here today. The word John used here in John 3:16 includes all of God's creation. Everything that God made is covered in that term, the world, and it all needs redeeming from the effects of humanity's sinful rebellion. Turn with us to the New Testament Gospel of John today as Pastor Jim comes to get our study underway.
This is the fourth and final time in this series we'll be reading this passage. You'll remember it's a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, and we will begin reading at verse 14. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." In our earlier meditations upon this verse, we began by asking, what does it mean to perish? What is the condition in the world that requires such extreme sacrifice and interaction by the Creator? What does it mean to perish? And then we ask the question, what is it that God gave again? He gave his Son. His Son. And that references someone no less than God himself, who became man. And then we ask the question, what does it mean to have eternal life? If we believe on him, what does it mean to have eternal life? And this morning, we want to reflect a bit upon the question, he loved what? He loved what? For God loved the world. Verse 17, God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. When the Bible uses the word world, it's talking about what is ordered or arranged. Sometimes the word is contextualized to mean just our earth. But there's a different word that the writer would use in the New Testament if he was talking about the earth. Sometimes God speaks to us about the family of humanity, human beings, but that's a different world. And when the writer wants to focus upon human beings who live on the earth, he uses a different word than the word world. The word world, in its fullest meaning, is that which God has created. And that includes everything that can be measured, felt, touched, seen. Anything that is outside of God is a part of the world. It's a part of his creation. It's something that owes its existence back to the Creator because the Creator brought it into being. We are told in clear language in the first chapters of Genesis that in its pristine form, everything that God created was very good. Very good. But something tragically ruptured that state. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tries to define for us the condition of that pristine world that God created in perfection and goodness as it is today. Listen to what he says. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage of corruption, from the bondage of corruption into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. The whole creation. One of the reasons people protest not believing in God is that there is bad stuff going on in the world. How can God be good? How can God be loving? How can God be the kind of God that the scripture presents him to be while there is disease and death and sorrow and pain? Well, the answer to that is that God did not intend nor create nor desire those things in his creation. Those things are the result of something the Bible calls sin. And sin entered our experience, our world, through the deceptive ploy of a supernatural being God created who is called Lucifer. He has other terms. But he is a powerful creature created by God who staked his future on the bet that he could out-God God. That he, a magnificent creature, could outgovern the God who had created him. And that he could arrange the world so that he, Lucifer, would be the center around which the world and the universe would move. What a foolish, idiotic assumption. But that's a very common assumption. Hundreds of millions of people make that same assumption every day, that they're smarter and wiser than God, and that they deserve adoration, satisfaction, and exaltation, and that God, the one who calls them, the one who created them, the one whose image they bear, is really a fuddy-duddy, a figure of imagination, that they owe nothing to that God, and frankly, if they were God, they could do it better. That assumption runs through the heart and mind of thousands of angels and millions of men. That leads to selfishness, greed, unkindness, abuse, manipulation, anger, murder, envy. And out of those seeds come disease, pain, suffering. That disease has affected the whole universe. And God, in response to that condition, turned the whole universe over to that logical consequence. God stepped back and said, okay, go ahead. Have it your way. Give it your best shot. And everything that you detest and hate in other people comes from God surrendering those people over to the power of sin and destruction. But God was not content to just remain aloof and to watch his creation go down the tubes. So God responded with promises and later with performance. He promised that he would proactively assert himself into this terrible stream of destructive forces, and that when he asserted himself, he would deal with the root problem, sin, rebellion, and that he would do so at the cost of the death of his son. Now, when we use that term, his son, we're not talking about Jesus being the son of Mary and God, like Daniel, Timothy, Johanna are the children of Trycene and Jim. That's not what the word the son means here. The son here is talking about God the Son, who, being equal with the Father and the Spirit, committed himself way back, committed himself to enter the race as a human, grow up, and then on a cross die, offering his life in death as full payment for the sins of the whole world. Not the world of Satan and the fallen angels and demons. There is no salvation for them. And based upon that sacrifice and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus Christ, God unpacked a powerful plan that will ultimately result in the whole universe being saved. Saved. The whole universe being saved. But hear me carefully. That salvation will result in two piles. There will be a pile over here of all of the sin, deeds, and devices, and destructiveness, and the people, and the spirit beings who committed themselves to sin. Part of that will be destroyed in fire. The rest of that pile will spend eternity in a place called the Lake of Fire, a place prepared, quote, for the devil and his angels, end of quote. A place of consignment where mortals like you and me, who choose to reject God's offer of his son, the salvation that his son offered, the forgiveness of sins, the power over sin that his son offers, rejecting that and instead choosing to do your own thing, and you will spend eternity in the place God created for the devil and his angels. You don't like that. God doesn't like that. Nobody likes that. Putting your hands over your eyes won't change the fact that there's a train coming. And discounting that doesn't change the fact of its reality. You see, God's not going to allow his universe to remain prisoner and subject to Satan, sin, sinners, and destructive forces. He's going to save the whole universe and redeem it back to himself and restore it back to its original intent, to the goodness and perfection which marked it in its original creation. He's going to do that. And that's what's going to be over here in this other pile. A new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where sin, Satan, sinners will never have access, never have entry, never be able to assault. And you're going to be in one of those two piles. Count on it. You can take that to the bank. God is going to save his world, his creation, and he's not going to let you, a rebellious sinner, continue to pollute it. He's not going to do that. He's going to take you out and consign you to a place where you will have eternity to consider the folly, the foolishness, the stupidity of your choice. For all it takes to separate yourself from the crowd headed to destruction and join the crowd that is part of the new creation is to look to Jesus Christ as your sin sacrifice. Confess to God that you need a sacrifice because you're a sinner. Open your heart and receive God the Son into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, and He'll immediately begin a work of grace in your life that will retool you and make you fit for this pile, the pile of that which will glorify Him and separate you from this pile, the pile of those who have doomed themselves and separated themselves from His grace and salvation forever. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world, or God loved the world this way. He focused His love and His concern in an activity which would be accomplished by God the Son. And through His death and resurrection, God would part the waters, He would part the seas, and He would begin a recreation process which ultimately would lead to a whole new heavens, a whole new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That's what Revelation chapters 21, 22 are all about. Now, you're gambling with your life today. You're taking the dice of free choice. And you're deciding, where am I going to cast my lot? Which group am I going to join? Am I going to stay on the path of sin, selfishness, and end up in the heap of destruction? Or am I going to look to Jesus Christ and receive Him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior and become part of an eternal new heavens and new earth? That's your choice. But listen, don't cry about God not being a God of love if you choose to continue in your sin. When you place yourself willfully outside the choice God offers in the sacrifice and gift of His Son, then you will not experience God's love. You will experience God's wrath. That's what John 3:16 says. The fact that God loves the world does not mean that God's suddenly gone vanilla. That God's saying, oh, well, it really doesn't matter. I mean, after all, you know, boys will be boys, girls will be boys. It really doesn't matter. I mean, sin, that's just a philosophical thought. That's not the God who created you. That's not the character of the God and the intent of the God who created heavens, earth, and humanity. He is holy and He is love. And in His love, He provided the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, the participation with Him of a glorious future. So many times we privatize John 3:16. Oh, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, I believe in Him. Whew, that takes care of that verse. Oh, no. This verse is not talking about you, period. It's talking about you as part of the world. God's intent, God's focus is not just Jim Custer, not just you, who are saved. God's focus in the gift of His Son is the world. And by the world, He means the whole created universe, stars, angels, the abyss. Now, if you want to read more about how God, in His Son, the same Son He gave to be our sacrifice, how God executes or accomplishes this grand purpose of separating the sinning by choice, sinning by rebellious and consequences community from the community who choose to receive Jesus Christ. And you want to see how this works out in terms of the universe, just read the book of the Revelation. And in the book of the Revelation, especially starting in chapters 4 and 5, you will see God step into human history proactively and accomplish specific scheduled events of judgment, restoration, redemption, and change. History is not going on in its present monotonous pattern forever. And the book of the Revelation gives us great detail about how God is going to challenge and destroy Satan, the angels that have sinned with Satan, those angels that are incarcerated right now under the earth in a place called the abyss, sinful men who have died rebelling against God, who are incarcerated right now in a place called Hades or hell. How God's going to finish His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Daniel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And how God's program for the nations of the world and the world's governments, how that program is going to be precisely executed. It's an immense, it's tremendous, it's a phenomenal plan. Let me close by summarizing with the words of 2 Peter chapter 3. The day of the Lord will come, Peter said, in which the heavens being on fire will melt. The earth will dissolve. Nothing will be left. And in its place, God will create a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. That's God's target.
The redemption that God provides through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary covers all of the fallen creation. The sin penalty is erased when we believe, and all of creation will be restored to its original goodness. And that's all based on the price that Jesus paid. Sin has consequences. Those consequences are deadly. But God's grace and mercy pays the price, and there is forgiveness and restoration available. These daily lessons are available on single CDs. If you would like one, we do have them available. We're calling today's lesson Living Above Limits. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you a single lesson. This complete series on John 3:16 is available in a 3-disc set for your gift of $18 or more. Now, we have several ways available that you can order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the Internet when you log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. The daily Right Start Radio program is also available as a podcast on iTunes. Or write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Thank you for your prayerful financial support of the Right Start Radio ministry. Right Start is listener supported. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening in today. I hope you'll plan now to join us again on Tuesday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start. Thank you.